We have forgiveness of our sins and we've had revelation. It's been a pretty awesome couple of weeks, really. Today, we're going to be having a look at three more of the spiritual blessings that Paul is talking about and that just leads him to this incredible outburst of praise that we see in these opening verses. Just as a little reminder, there are some ongoing themes across this passage that we're looking at over 3 weeks, because it is one sentence, and so of course there are going to be themes that are across. We see all the way through the very last verse that we just heard read, and also in verse 12, this is all to the praise of his glory. We see also, when we're looking at the Spirit today, we are seeing that the Spirit's job is to glorify. In John 16, Jesus says about the Spirit, he will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So the Son reveals the Father, and the Spirit illuminates the Son. And any work of the Spirit that does not glorify Christ is not the work of the Spirit. Whenever Christ is exalted, it is the Holy Spirit's work that is doing that. We've also seen how all of this, everything that we are hearing about over these weeks, it is all according to God's plan and purpose. We have been chosen, we have been called. When we are looking at this, we see how the Holy Spirit is speaking through the words of the Bible, speaking through the life of Christ. He is opening ears and hearts so that we can be understanding this message and hearing this message. And it is only through the Spirit's work that does anything come about. When we proclaim the gospel, it is the Spirit's work that is at work in people's lives, changing them. Because it is only through the power of the Spirit that we can come to Christ. And it is only through the power of the Spirit that we are led and we can be carrying on in that faith. Without that call from the Spirit, none of us would be here. No one would turn to Christ. So we're keeping those things in mind as we're focusing on our three main themes that we're going to be thinking through today. Today we have the idea of unification, inheritance, and sealing. That's sealing as in being sealed, not sealing as in the roof. Verse 10, just before our passage, it said about bringing all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. We see in those verses, this talk of unification of all creation under Christ. And in verse 11 onwards, we see how some of this unification has already happened. Verse 11 and 12, we see Paul talking about the original Christians. The very first Christians were Jews. It says, we who were the first to put our hope in Christ. But then later we see verses 13 and 14, he's speaking about the people who were the Gentiles, and they have now been brought in, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. So the Gentiles have also now received this same promise that was made in it to Israel, the gift of that Holy Spirit. Likewise, they have become heirs to that promise of God's glory. And in Christianity, we see how other aspects have been brought into unity as well. We see how rich and poor have become united, slave and free, male and female. There is none of that under Christ. But that's not the whole story. It's not just about people living together in a nice, cozy way, being kind to each other. We're talking about so much more than just getting along nicely. When sin entered into the world and brought with it death, everything was affected. We can't underestimate that impact that that had on the world around us. Satan ruled people's hearts and minds across the world, across the ages. It's caused chaos and hurt, and we only need to just look out of the door to see what kind of things is happening. We only really need to look into our own lives to see the impact that that has on us. But Jesus came and he paid the price for our sin so that Satan would no longer have that power over us. We can have a new master, a holy and kind master. Jesus won the victory through the cross, the resurrection, the ascension. But it's not fully fulfilled. It's not completely fulfilled until he returns. We still see the effects of that sin around us, the death, the decay, the war and the violence. They're still present, but they don't have that eternal power on us anymore as Christians. Because Jesus has gone to prepare a home for us, a home where we will live in true unity, where we can feel the full force of his actions, where those complete results of his victory will be seen. And he will come back to take us to that place. So uniting is so much more than just harmonious living. When you actually look into the root of the word, that helps us as well, because there's an idea behind the word of dealing a blow to bring things into submission. Jesus will return and he will be dealing that final blow that brings everything into submission to his Father's purpose. When Jesus came to earth, he humbled himself, coming to earth to die, being obedient to that extent. And because of that, the Father exalted him to the highest place. He became the undisputed king. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. All things will meet in Christ. All faith centers in Christ. All things in heaven and on earth are gathered together under Christ. That peace will be made, not just amongst people, but between heaven and earth. And it will happen through him and under his authority. At the end of the age, we will see that unity under Christ's lordship will be complete. But living here now today, we don't see all of that. We still see that devil's hold over us. It has been legally broken through the death of Christ, but he is still trying to distract us, to tempt us. But now we have this option. We bow before Christ now, or we are forced to do it when he comes in his glory. Christ has the victory. And if we bow before him now, we will share in that victory. Death no longer will be a cause for fear for us. It's a stepping stone into the presence of our new master. We have such hope in this life now because we know that all will be united under his banner and his lordship. Under his reign, we have confidence to face that enemy. We can boldly serve our new master because he knows us. He provides for us. He seeks the good in our lives. He knows everything. And he has in mind that eternal purpose. In verse 14, we see it speaking about an inheritance. The inheritance that we will receive when we are in Christ. Now notice that it is in Christ. He is the means by which it comes. Without Christ, there is no inheritance. He is the one who brings us. He is the one that makes it possible for us to receive that inheritance by his death. The cost of that inheritance was for Jesus to leave heaven, to live a human life on earth, to die a humiliating and painful death, and to be separated from his Father. And all of that means that we have not earned this free gift. We don't deserve it. It all comes from him. Just as we've seen with the unification, we see some of this now, but it will be complete in the new creation. Any blessings that we can see now are tiny compared to the inheritance that we will receive as Christians in the new creation. Imagine an heir. When they're a child, what they're given is nothing compared to what they will have when they come of age. Paul was so in awe of everything that he saw happening in his future. He was prepared to give up anything now to gain that inheritance. He considered all that this life could offer him, the best things that this life could offer him, were just rubbish in comparison to what he would be gaining in the future. Knowing Christ satisfies our soul as nothing in the world ever could. We've been given eternal life. Life in the presence of Jesus, free from sin and its results. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine the things that are in store for us. It is beyond our wildest imagination. It is better than the very best that we have seen. We don't even understand the blessings that we have now. So we can't possibly understand the blessings that we will have in eternal life. But what do we know? We know that there will be freedom from sin and the curse. We know that there will be no death. There will be no pain and no suffering. There will be no crying. We will be living in a new creation, in eternal life, with full intimacy with God. If you take a look at verse 13, it's interesting the tense that is used in that verse. It says, when you believed, you were marked. Past tense. As Christians, we have already obtained this. We have the right to this inheritance, and we will automatically receive it when we die. It is ours the moment that we come to Christ. The papers are signed. It is legally ours. We haven't received it all yet. We've not experienced all of it. But there is so much more to come. But now, the inheritance that we can take hold of now, we can speak to our Father in prayer. We have comfort from the Holy Spirit when we have trials. We are free from the power of sin, if not its presence. We have mercy and forgiveness when we fail. And we're promised the presence of God, who will never leave us. We are richly blessed by this inheritance. But notice that God is also richly blessed by this inheritance. He receives praise from his people because he has had mercy on them. It is all for God's glory. And this praise will be for all eternity. We will enjoy the fullness of his blessings for eternity, and so we will be praising him for it for eternity. So how do we know that this inheritance is certain? How do we know that we will definitely get this if we are Christians? Well, we see our final part, the sealing. Sealing is this idea of making a document official and legal, confirming the agreement, and bring two individuals into the terms of that agreement. So when someone becomes a Christian, God is entering into a legal agreement with them. And our agreement as Christians is related to that inheritance and to our status as his children. God has bound himself to us legally. And that seal is what makes it official. And we see this happening in two ways. Firstly, it's confirming that it is a genuine thing, that it is God who is in this. The seal shows that it is God who is behind this agreement. There's nobody else. It indicates an ownership. When we are sealed, then we are God's property. If you're not sure whether you are a Christian, then this is the evidence that we can be looking for. The Holy Spirit in our lives. When we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are marked as Christ's own forever. Romans 8 speaks of the Spirit testifying to our spirit that we are God's children, showing us that we really are His children. When the Spirit lives in us, we know that we have been saved. And we can see that through the effect that it has on our lives. The Spirit living within us, working within us, changing our mindset. We want to learn more. We want to be following Jesus. We want to be hearing His word. We see the changes that He is making. We know that that Spirit is within us, that we have been sealed, and therefore we are God's. And secondly, we know that the Spirit is a guarantee. It is proof of God's good faith, the guarantee to pay us what He has promised to pay us. It's like a deposit or a down payment, showing that that item is yours. And it's a symbol of so much more to come. The seal of the Holy Spirit makes us as Christians secure in our faith and our relationship with Christ. Sealing is the answer to all of our eternal concerns. It assures us that God's favor is on us, that He is showing us that we belong to Him, and it is showing us that that salvation is certain. God is true to His promise. And the sealing took place when a believer first believed. And that seal can't be undone. Now, just like the other blessings that we've been looking at, we see two stages. We have been sealed. We have that guarantee that we will be receiving more. The fruit that the Spirit produces in us is real now, but it's also a sample of what will be coming in the future. Like seedlings. I believe there is a picture that we can see with seedlings, I hope. There's a picture that we have had over the last year or so in the Hebrews passage of growing seedlings. Not going to happen. And those seedlings, as we are growing, as we are maturing in Christ, we start out as these tiny little seeds and we're growing up. The Spirit is maturing us. But if you then compare that little seedling to the mighty oak, it's tiny in comparison. So the fruit that we see now compared to what we will be in eternity is beyond our imagination. So for example, we experience joy as a fruit of the Spirit now, but compared to the joy that we will receive, it is just a portion of what will come in that new creation. When we have communion and share that together, we have a small taste of the feast of heaven. When we have a taste of the fellowship with the Spirit now and the leading that He has in our lives, there's a day that is coming when all those earthly experiences will fade into comparison to this deep and intimate communication that we've never even dreamt of. All of the Spirit's work as sanctifier, as comforter, it's begun in heaven before creation. It is glorious now in the seed and the bud. And there is a guarantee of so much more to come. The Spirit's illumination is a guarantee of everlasting light. Sanctification is a guarantee of perfect holiness. And His comforts on earth are guarantees of everlasting joy. So that guarantee gives us such assurance that we are children of God. And we really need that assurance, because it is so easy to question our relationship with God. We know that we are not worthy of this inheritance that we've been promised. We look around the world around us, and it is so easy to doubt. When we go out of here today, it is not going to be easy to believe this. We get bogged down by the trivial life, the pressures, the disappointments. But the Holy Spirit reassures us of that status. 1 John chapter 3 says, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." And instead of just a wax seal, the Holy Spirit lives in believers. When you became a Christian, God gave himself, and he promised to walk with you all the way. The God of the universe lives in you as a sign of his commitment to you and the promised inheritance that you will receive. So as a Christian, you can open your life to the work that he wants to do in you and through you. You can open your heart to him and let him show you more of the riches that you already have now and the greater riches that are still to come. Ask him to reveal the Father. Ask him to open your mind so that you can be understanding the things of God. Allow him to change you from the inside, shaping you to be more and more like the Lord Jesus. And be reassured that your relationship with God is certain. And be strengthened to follow the path that the Father has laid out for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that all things in heaven and on earth will be brought together under the lordship of Christ. We thank you that we will receive this inheritance. Thank you that we can see some of that inheritance now, but it is so much more than anything we could imagine. Thank you for your presence in our lives, distinguishing us from the world, showing your claim on our lives, and guaranteeing that inheritance. And Lord, when we're out in the world and we are doubting, when the world around us feels so real and you feel so distant, Lord, may that spirit within us encourage us, strengthen us. May we listen to that spirit and be encouraging each other. And may we be praising you for the wondrous gifts that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.